L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, if you haven't checked out Pristine Auction, you need to. It is the ultimate website for us sports nuts and specifically football fans. That is PRISTINE auction.com. They have daily auctions on literally anything that you can think of. I've actually loaded up my own man cave with signed helmets, though I know a lot of our listeners are enjoying the signed jerseys and other memorabilia. If you do grab something off the website, make sure to send me a picture on Twitter and I'll share it with everyone. Speaking of helmets, I think I'm probably going to check out an Amari Cooper helmet today. Maybe it'll be cheaper after the way Sunday night's game went. But if you're thinking about it, and this is going to be way too expensive, no, it's much more affordable than you'd think. With Christmas and other holidays coming up, this could be the perfect time to let your significant other know what you want for the holidays. It is free to register. Just go and look around. You only pay for an item if you bid and win it, which is obviously the point. Just do me one favor, guys. When you go and register, let them know that Fantasy Pros sent you. That way we can keep doing giveaways like the one we are doing right now on a Mike Evans signed jersey. To enter that contest, go to iTunes, leave a review, screenshot it, and then send that screenshot into contest@fantasypros.com. If you do that for us, we will automatically enter you in all future contests. Okay, guys and gals, let's get into the show. What's going on, guys? Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am your host, Bobby Sylvester. Wait a minute. No, I'm not. I'm Mike Tagliere, guys. Bobby is actually going to be out for a little bit because he apparently had a baby. Slacker. But in all seriousness, hop on Twitter and congratulate the Sylvester family on the birth of their beautiful young daughter. Bobby can now officially start to lose his hair like me. Speaking of hair, we have a guest today who has much more hair than I do. And that is RotoExperts.com's Jake Seeley, who is self-proclaimed the most handsome expert in the fantasy industry. Did I get that right, Jake, or do you need me to re-record that?
I don't remember being self-proclaimed, but I'll take the fact that I might still have some more hair, although I'm pretty sure most of us was yanking it out yesterday.
Yes, it was a weird day in the NFL. Okay, guys, this is, of course, the Waiver Wire show where we will be talking about which players you should be targeting off the waiver wire, but first, Jake, I want to address something here. Can you believe what Bobby did to me? I don't know if you've heard about it. Did you hear about the bet that we made prior to the season starting?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so Bobby and I made a bet that whoever lost the bet has to do all of the combine activities and they have to post it on Twitter, the video of them doing it. The bet was that I had Amari Cooper and he has Sammy Watkins, okay? And it's on a point per game basis, whoever scores more points per game. I thought I had this in the bag, right? And of course, after Sammy Watkins goes off for 106 yards and two touchdowns against the 49ers, Bobby's tweeting out that, I should have given Mike a handicap and this and that. Do I have anything to worry about here? Or is this going to all even out and Amari Cooper is going to finish as the better fantasy player?
It'll all even out. It's just the fact that this is Amari Cooper and what Amari Cooper is. I said it last year. I'm going to say it again this year. He's Brandon Cooks. People who think he's more than that just get way too hung up on seeing those 200-yard games, the 120 yards and two touchdowns and thinking that he's going to be anything more than that. And it's just the fact that he's Brandon Cooks. There's inconsistencies and part of it is because of his hands. So you'll still be fine. He's still a top end wide receiver too, but the thoughts of, okay, this is going to be the year. This is going to be the year. This is going to be the year. I mean, I know he's still young. He's only been in the league for a very short amount of time. This is the third year and all that type of nonsense, but just face facts. He's Brandon Cooks, people. Just accept it.
Well, I mean, if he's Brandon Cooks from week three, then we're in for a lot of goods because Brandon Cooks was one of the storylines from week three, 131 yards and two touchdowns against the Houston Texans, who were less than 100% in that secondary. And it was a matchup that we talked about in the DFS show to target. With that being said, there was a lot of things that didn't go exactly as we planned in week three. So let's talk a little bit about that, Jake. What were some of your biggest takeaways from week three?
That they continue to want a stud running back, that if you don't have a bell cow, and I understand people will throw out, oh, you didn't, you know, David Johnson. That happens all the time. Last year, we could have talked about the receivers. Look, Dez Bryant, Jordy Nelson a couple years ago. Like, these wide receivers can have the same injury luck. But the fact is, if you don't have a stud person you can rely on, and they won't always have the best game. Like, some people will say, well, what about C.J. Anderson? Well, first of all, C.J. Anderson is not a number one running back. Second of all, not every running back is going to show up every single week. And that's the fact, is that's why you want the bell cows. And, you know, you look at the fact that Le'Veon Bell usually shows up every single game, David Johnson before he got hurt. But just looking at this past week of not necessarily saying, okay, told you so on the workhorse, but to avoid these backfields with the messy situations of Seattle and the Giants and the Eagles and probably tonight again with the Cardinals, and just to keep going down the list, is just to have somebody you know is going to touch the ball 15, 20 times every single week is such a leg up.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about someone who saw an increase in snaps. And this is someone that I argued with you before the season started, Joe Mixon. Okay, I said not to draft him in the third, fourth round because you were going to be in a messy timeshare to start the season. But with the firing of Ken Zampezi and moving on to Bill Lazor, this offense looked like a completely different animal in week three. And I told people, you know, I said, don't take too much from the first couple of weeks, guys. Andy Dalton played against the Ravens, who are considered one of the better veteran defenses in the NFL. And then they had the Texans in week two. So in week three, they got back on track, but more importantly, Joe Mixon played a lot of snaps. What are you taking from this? Do you think that Joe Mixon is automatically now going to be the workhorse and Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill are just going to be in there for, you know, maybe 10 to 15 snaps per game? Or, you know, what is your take on this? Is it just a 1 week thing, or do you want to see it more before trusting Mixon as maybe an RB2?
No, this is, I put the over-under at week four to begin the season, so I love seeing that this probably headed into week four as just that. But no, I'm not going to call him a workhorse. The reason I was taking him in the third or fourth round was because he was a fringe RB1 for me, and he doesn't need to be a workhorse. I think that if you look at yesterday, people are going to say, well, the yards per carry wasn't great and everything like that, but he's still too talented to not produce more on the touches. And why I say not a workhorse is because I don't think he needs or is going to see 20-plus touches every single game, because Giovanni Bernard is still going to be in the mix. Jeremy Hill is probably relegated to that 4 to 7 touch game situation now. But looking at Mixon, here's the real part about it, and this is what I kept saying over the weekend, and especially Thursday after the firing, and people wanted to crap all over Bill Lazor. And they're like, oh, well, look at what he was doing to Lamar Miller and all this type of stuff. And, people don't realize Lamar Miller was RB9 and RB6 in fantasy those 2 years that Lazor was in control. And what are we seeing now is what he knew and what we've said, well, some of us have said before, is Lamar Miller is not equipped to be a workhorse running back. When he's getting that touches and those type of volume and that type of work, he's failed. He's better in that 15 to 20 touch and still be in the majority, but keep him in that range and he excels. So I think people got frustrated wanting Lamar Miller to get more because he was so good. And that's what I'm looking at from Joe Mixon, is I just want Joe Mixon to get the Lamar Miller role from when he was with the Dolphins. And if so, he has fringe RB1 value.
Yeah, I was loving watching them play this past weekend, just because Mixon was someone we knew eventually, yes, we knew he was going to take over, but I felt like in weeks 1 and 2, they never gave him a chance to establish some consistency. You know, they put him on the field for a down, they pull him off. They put him in for 2 downs, they take him off. They left him in for series during this game, and it really panned out. His stat sheet, it didn't really like pop off the page or anything like that, so that because of that, you could probably go out and trade for Joe Mixon right now and get him cheaper than probably what he should be. I updated my rest of season rankings this morning, and I have him at RB18 right now, and I feel pretty confident about that with this offense moving forward, who was missing, you know, Tyler Eifert last week. They were missing John Ross. There's some vertical elements to this offense that's going to clear some paths for Joe Mixon. But the one thing I really do want to talk about in this episode, Jake, before we get into the waiver wire, Tarik Cohen is a monster, man. Like, I am usually a guy who literally pushes away Bears players. I know I'm a Bears fan, but I know this team. Tarik Cohen is legit. He looks really good. He's a guy that keeps his balance extremely well, despite all the cuts he makes. Stays low center of gravity. Everything is good there. I posted a question on Twitter yesterday, Jake, and I don't know if you saw the results to this, but I said, who would you prefer to own the rest of the season? Tarik Cohen or Christian McCaffrey? And it's a question that I didn't expect many people to think about at first, but when you start actually debating it, how do you not take Cohen in this situation? The Bears offense isn't great, but then again, the Panthers, they appear going nowhere. Which one of these two running backs would you prefer going forward?
I'm actually taking McCaffrey in that one. And also, real quick, by the way, and I'm giving you a pass because so many people have done it, is Tariq, because I saw his mom. I looked it up because everybody was saying Tarik and Tariq and Tariq. And I saw if there's a mom, it's an interview from his mom who Tariq. Says Tariq. So it's Tariq going forward.
Oh, thank
I found
you.
That, yeah, see, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not blaming you because a lot of people were doing both and people I trusted. So I started saying Tarik too because it was people in the draft community. And so I watched a video of his mom being interviewed and she calls him Tariq. So I'm like, if his mom's calling him Tariq,
yes,
then it's Tariq. So, yeah. So I understand the argument for Cohen. My biggest thing with McCaffrey is whether they're up, whether they're down, whether they're tied, whether whatever the situation is, I know McCaffrey's getting touches. Cohen, as we saw yesterday, I think is a lot that he's going to have to do more with less if the game is similar to yesterday, where it's a Jordan Howard type of game. And that's really why I have no problem with Cohen. I want both of them. And especially in a PPR, I want both of them. And I would love to have Cohen as even my RB2 is similar to that theoretic of the years past. But that being said, if I had to pick one, I would take McCaffrey just because I know his touches are going to be consistent every single week. Cohen would have had an enormous game, and I know everybody would have been going gaga over him again if that call didn't come back when he made, what is that? That probably could have been one of the top five highlights of the season if he would have not had that called back. But that being said, it's kind of similar, you know, and I'm sure we'll get to him too. It's kind of similar to the Chris Thompson. I just want the guaranteed touches. I know that he's exceptionally explosive. I just know every single week Christian McCaffrey's going to get double-digit touches.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like we saw him get a ton of targets in the passing game this week with Greg Olsen out. And it was the first week without Olsen. We do know that Kelvin Benjamin is kind of nicked up. We don't know what his status is for week four. And I should mention before we go any further that Darren Sproles, guys, if you missed the news, he tore his ACL on the same play that he broke his arm. This is just, it's heartbreak for
ridiculous.
A guy that, yeah, it's heartbreak for a guy that was supposed to retire at the end of the season anyways. I think this is the last we've seen of Darren Sproles, and it's really sad. It was such a great career. So, Mr. Sproles, if you are listening anywhere, wherever you are, we wish you nothing but the best. And it was a pleasure to watch him play. But let's start talking about some of these waiver wire options, Jake. And, you know, you mentioned Chris Thompson, and this is a question I actually had lined up for you before you even mentioned that. Let's pretend that last week nobody wanted to pick him up. They're like, we know who Chris Thompson is. He's a third down running back. I'm not going to spend my fab bucks on him. Let's pretend that Chris Thompson is still on your waiver wire. How much of your fab, and if you guys are listening at home, you don't know what fab is, it's your free agent acquisition budget. Instead of doing like a numbered waiver wire system, you start with like $200 in your budget, $100, whatever the case is. We're going to try and start talking about fab a little bit more on the show, just because a lot of people have recommended that, you know, they wanted to know how much we would spend. So Jake, I ask you, Chris Thompson, how much of your fab would you spend on someone like Chris Thompson right now?
Well, also, I'm also changing this, by the way. I don't know if I'll get the industry to do it, but FAB is either free agent budget, which I don't know why we need the second A, or if it's FAAB, like you just said, it's FOB, like the car, Saab. Like it's FAB is one A, two A's grammatically is OB, and that's always bugged me. But anyway, Chris Thompson, I gotta say, like, so here's the one thing I found too, is it's weird because I want to help. You know this, the general public listens to us a lot more than the expert, the top end, the high stake leagues and stuff like that. And usually I do it because people demand it. As I put that in my waiver column, I put what I would spend. And I found that I've actually had people overspending and running out of budget faster because your average lead, like a good example would be last week, Rashad Higgins. I said I would go around 10%. If you're extremely competitive, I'd even go up to 15%. And two of my casual leagues that I play with friends and stuff like that, I got him for 9 and 12, and nobody else even bid on him. So for Chris Thompson, in my mind, I'm like, hey, I'm in an aggressive league. I'm in somebody that might need a running back, especially in PPR. I always thought, to your point of why he should have been owned to begin with, is because he was a lesser Riddick before this season, but more like maybe more of a Darren Sproles, somebody who's undervalued in PPR. So in my mind right now, the first thing that came to mind was, I'm going hard. I'm going 30 to 40%. I think that might be a little bit much for your average league. I think that maybe you could get him for 20 to 25%. So this is what I always say, and I think you'll agree with this. It's the same thing I'll say in my column, is you know how your league spends. If I have somebody as the number one or number two running back, you know you need to be aggressive. I would put Chris Thompson, we'll probably talk about the other options out there, but he's probably going to be top three this week for adding running back help. So if you are in a league that needs to be aggressive 30, 40%, then you know that. If you're more casual, then maybe 20, 25.
Yeah, I think he's earned more touches going forward. I think that, you know, we heard Jay Gruden before this week talking about how, you know, they're not all of a sudden going to give Chris Thompson 20 touches a week. He's like, that's not who he is. And he's not going to score a touchdown every five touches like he's been doing this season. So there's going to be natural regression there. And there's people all over saying, you know, of course, you know, if you guys are selling him, I'm buying him. If you have Chris Thompson in a league and people are willing to give you RB2, RB3 value, like maybe someone like Derrick Henry right now, I would trade Chris Thompson for Derrick Henry every single day of the week, because I prefer someone who can help me win a fantasy football league. Yep. And I think Chris Thompson has already had his best days of the season. So obviously this is a prime sell high time for Chris Thompson. With that being said, if he's on the waiver wire in your league, I am also comfortable going up to maybe around 30%, because we're at the point now where it's highly unlikely you're going to find a wide receiver on the waiver wire, because we know who the wide receivers are. We know who's performing. We know who's got the jobs. Whereas running backs, we're getting to the point in the season, Jake, and I don't know what your stance is on this, but as we go through the season, you know, we talk about not drafting handcuff running backs. At what point in the season do we start grabbing guys off the waiver wire who are potential league winners? Like, I think one of my favorite ones this week, and he's not going to be discussed in our waiver wire options because he's kind of off the radar, but he's one of your favorites from the preseason, Jake. Like, your name was attached to this guy all offseason, and I'm with you right now. I mean, if he's available, Jamal Williams needs to be on every single fantasy football roster. Ty Montgomery is playing 90% of the snaps. He's pulled himself out of the game a few times. He's really struggling. Yeah, that's the thing. He's not built for this, guys. He was never a running back throughout his career. He's averaging just 3 yards per carry. He just does not have the same burst that he offered last year in a part-time role. So are you with me, Jake, that Jamal Williams needs to be owned in every single league?
I am, 100%, because he's in that same conversation of like the Matt Breidas of the world. I know you're a big fan of Carlos Hyde. I always have been too. But it's these guys that Carlos Hyde always is getting hurt. Jamal Williams, the situation behind Ty Montgomery, you just mentioned it. Ty Montgomery, he's dealt with some injuries too, not to the level of Carlos Hyde. But if you look at it, as you mentioned, it hasn't been a running back when he came out of college. I even said in my write-up that somebody needs to figure out how to use him. And so far, the Packers are doing a terrific job, but not to this degree. He's put on more muscle. And the biggest reason that I like Jamal Williams so much is because Ty Montgomery was terrible in pass blocking. Kudos to him, because it was all the way through week four of the preseason. We were still struggling and something clicked. He did a switch. I don't know what it was, but week one he came out and it was like, hey, I know how to pass block now. So they've been keeping him on the field, as you said, like 90% of the time. I don't think most running backs, let alone somebody of his size, even though he has put up more muscle, is able to handle that kind of pounding week in and week out and not get dinged up, banged up, hurt, or even start to miss time, which, as you mentioned, he's already pulled himself out of games a couple times. It's going to take a few more shots, and this guy's going to miss significant time. So, yes, he's a must-own. All these ones, because it goes back to what I said earlier, is the workhorse running back, is there's a few running backs out there where the lead option goes down, you have a clear option behind him. Right. Like, a perfect example would be Oakland. If Marshawn Lynch were to get hurt, we don't know if it's going to be DeAndre Washington 1 week or Jalen Richard the next. So we've seen flashes of both, and there's a frustrating situation there. But if this were ever to happen here, Jamal Williams is the guy. He is the next one up. He will see 70-plus touches, or 70% plus.
Yes, and I would argue that he should be the one getting the goal line carries right now, because Ty Montgomery just doesn't look very comfortable in that role getting the goal line carries. So, you know, let's move into these waiver wire options, because there's a lot of guys who are still available on waiver wires right now, but we at Fantasy Pros, we try and narrow them down to the ones who are available in a majority of leagues and the ones that you're going to be sitting there trying to debate between. So, Jake, let's start the running back position. And I think the number one on my board, there's three options here that I really want to talk about. Deontay Foreman. And this is another name that I don't think we've ever received clear, you know, confirmation that it's Deontay. But I think it's Deontay Foreman.
Actually, that one, yes, that was same too. That is Deontay.
Deontay, awesome. I got that one correct. All right. So then we have Alvin Kamara, who is doing magic with his touches when he gets them. And then we have Jamal Charles, who somehow got more carries than CJ Anderson this week. I don't know what's going on here. He looks solid on the carry he got, the touchdown carry at least. How would you rank these three, Jake? Foreman, Kamara, and Charles. And you know, like, let's talk through this.
We're talking non-PPR and PPR. We want to kind of saddle
both.
Yeah,
if you want to specify during with certain leagues, yeah, absolutely do that.
In both leagues, I'm still adding Foreman first, but I could see somebody wanting Kamara if you need somebody now. Like, we're about to start hitting the buys, although the Saints have their bye coming up. But that being said, is if you need somebody now, like your flex running back, I could see Kamara. I just have trouble trusting that backfield, including Ingram and Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson just needs to retire. Just stop. Go, you know, I, it's sad to see. It's kind of like the hanging on of a TV show after all the people left and it's the one person. It's, we don't want to watch this anymore. It's kind of like, just let it go, man. But Deontay Foreman, for the fact is, as soon as they drafted him, I said this was a huge knock to Lamar Miller's value, and I expected a 50-50 split to come at some point, and we're nearing that. That's getting closer and closer as the weeks go by. And maybe we only get to a 60-40 of Lamar Miller, but to go back to what I said before, that's where Lamar Miller's going to succeed. So while it's a hit to his value and the fact that the people that want him to be an RB1 is just not going to happen, is that he'll have similar value to last year. It'll probably be more effective on a per-touch basis, but Foreman is clearly the better option in the power runs, whether it's first, second down, short yardage, goal line, all that type of stuff. I still think that if Lamar Miller were ever to get hurt too, you're going to see a high ceiling Foreman. The interesting part about it is this is somebody who struggled with pass catching coming out of college, and he's been doing a pretty good job so far, similar to Ty Montgomery. It's like they're making up for the deficiencies. So I would add him just in the potential alone. In a PPR, like I said, though, if you need somebody for now, I can see Kamara. Jamaal Charles is a one-week thing. He has the same, almost exact same snap count as he did the first 2 weeks. He just got a few more touches this week, and he was a little bit more explosive. And this is what I go back to, and I keep referencing things I said, but it goes back to the CJ Anderson thing. Is your running back's not going to hit every single week if your name's not Le'Veon Bell.
Well, even Le'Veon Bell has had some struggles this year.
Yeah, week one.
You see his numbers coming up every single week, but I would say it was a disappointing performance by the Steelers team as a whole against the Bears. I mean, you think about that team, and I know we're in the waiver wire right now, but the Steelers, they barely beat the Browns in week one. They beat a Case Keenum-led Vikings team, the guy who didn't get very many reps with the ones that week, and then they lost to the Bears last week. I think there's some serious concerns.
On the road.
Steelers team, yeah, we know that Ben Roethlisberger on the road.
Something about it. It's the closest thing that we've had an explanation for is that he spends more time under center than out of the shotgun when on the road versus home, and maybe he's not comfortable there, but that's the closest we've come to a legitimate explanation. Nobody still has the real answer.
No, then that's true. I don't think anybody has the answer of why Ben Roethlisberger is just not very good on the road. He just missed Martavis Bryant on a bomb to start the game. It went right off of his fingertips. And, you know, Roethlisberger might be mad at Bryant about that, but it would have been a tough catch to haul in. But he was that close away from a solid game. But, you know, how much would you spend on someone like Foreman? Like, this is where a lot of people come in. They're like, well, if he's sitting out there, I would rather own someone like Deontay Foreman than someone like Jermaine Kearse. And I've been on record as saying that I will not own Jermaine Kearse. I would never trust him putting him in a lineup. I don't think he gives you that league winning upside. I think someone like Foreman potentially offers you that. I'm not saying that he's Derrick Henry, but I do think that, you know, if the Texans offensive line can start blocking better than they have, because their offensive line has looked awful through a couple of weeks. This is a shell of the offensive line that Arian Foster used to run behind. They really need some help up front. But Deontay Foreman is someone that can potentially give you every week startability, whereas someone like Jermaine Kearse, Robbie Anderson, you know, some of these other guys that people are picking up off waiver wires are never going to contribute. So how much would you spend on someone like Foreman?
Yeah, this is what I always say, is the bench is for upside, not for bye weeks. Like, that's what it is. And like, maybe I print that on a t-shirt. It's just stop with that. It's like the bye weeks, you can find somebody at any given time. You want the people that could potentially turn into, as you said, an RB2, a wide receiver 2, or even potential ones. That upside of can be the league changing. If you held on to Jordan Howard last year, if you held on to David Johnson the year before that, you hold on to these guys because of the potential they bring. You can find the curses, and this goes back to the one player I always called out for this, and I love the guy, but it was the Greg Jennings. It was like, when are you ever putting Greg Jennings in your lineup? Never, like for your bye week. So you could find Greg Jennings in the waiver wire any given week. And so that was the whole point of that. So I would probably, again, this kind of goes to the aggressiveness of your league. If he's still sitting out there, I got to imagine that maybe it's a shallower league or people just don't care that much. So I would say around 10%, but again, it's going to kind of depend if you need to go higher or lower, depending on what your league is.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So now that we've got that narrowed down, I think I'm in the same mind frame as you. I think I have Foreman number one. Kamara is an upside option. I think if something were to happen, if the Saints decided to move on from Adrian Peterson,
please.
I agree with you. Sadly, I do. I think this is the end. But if they do that, Kamara has legitimate flex value immediately, and he's going to be maybe even an RB2 in PPR leagues because he's being used in the passing game quite a bit. The Saints offense is starting to click. They're getting Willie Snead
back. Yeah, they finally found their new Darren Sproles. But also, real quick, you said it's now? No, the time already left for Adrian Peterson. The time was gone last year.
Yeah, sadly. I was hoping not, because it's like the nostalgia with Adrian Peterson is just, that's like the heart of my fantasy football life right there. And it's just leaving the game, and it makes me sad. But Jamaal Charles is definitely third on my list. I don't think it's necessarily a 1 week thing, but I think it's going to be difficult for you to project the weeks that Jamaal Charles is going to have those weeks. I think, I don't know what happened. I need to go back. I didn't see too much of this game between the Broncos and the Bills, but I'm this is one I'm going to go back and see what happened with CJ Anderson and why he wasn't on the field more than Jamaal Charles. But moving on, let's talk about a few other running backs who are out there. With this Darren Sproles injury, the fallout here, Jake, who do you add? I mean, LeGarrette Blount is somebody I don't want to own on any of my fantasy teams, and I'm just going to be honest about that. I don't like LeGarrette Blount. I talked about it before the season. I know he did well last week, but this is a guy that they legitimately gave zero touches to the week before. I don't think they believe in him. I think it's going to be up and down. But which one would you rather own between Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement? And let's pretend that Blount's out there. How would you rank these running backs going forward?
Smallwood, Blount, Clement. The snaps is all you have to look at for yesterday. And the fact is Smallwood is the one. You know, Clement did something with his, but he was still, I think, a distant third to everybody on this, or including Darren Sproles. So Wendell Smallwood, I want to say, was right in line with LeGarrette Blount or right ahead of him in snaps yesterday, with, again, Clement being the distant third. So it's Smallwood for me. He's the one who should step into is a similar style at times to Darren Sproles, so I'm looking for Smallwood to take the opportunity, and not to, no pun intended, but run with it. And so he's the one that I would go after. It wouldn't surprise me if they try to do a little bit more, you know, tough yardage type running with LeGarrette Blount, and it wouldn't surprise me if they mix in Clement. But this is, again, why I don't want to mess with these backfields if I can avoid them. You know, you took a shot at Chris Johnson, it took a shot at Kerwin Williams because you just didn't know, and right now it looks like it's Chris Johnson. But do you really want to put Chris Johnson in your lineup? So Wendell Smallwood, on the off chance that he is the future and takes over, but don't be surprised if it's just another mess going forward and you don't want any of them.
Yeah, Wendell Smallwood, by the way, 43 snaps yesterday. LeGarrette Blount, 22 snaps. So he outsnapped him quite a bit. He obviously plays more in passing downs. So I'm with Jake's take on the fact that Smallwood is more.
How many did Sproles have? Wasn't it really close to Sproles?
It was only five snaps before he got hurt. So he was out really early, which is why you've seen 43 snaps for Smallwood. It was a massive, massive blow to their offense, and it's going to hurt going forward. We'll break that down as the weeks kind of go on and kind of reevaluate the situation. But I do want to mention, before we get into the wide receivers, I want to talk about one of the sponsors for today's show. If you're like me, you have probably gone through and looked for tickets for a sporting event, a concert, only to sit there searching for the best value that you can find. After all, we aren't made of money, right? Spend no more time. Download the SeatGeek app on your phone. It is by far the easiest way to shop for tickets. With just a few taps on that app, you get to find the seats that'll best suit your price range. They actually grade every ticket based on value to immediately identify the best value in your particular budget. And that's where I think it's the best, because a lot of times on these apps, you'll search what's the best value, and they'll give you, you know, a $100 ticket behind home plate. Yeah, maybe it was $300 before, but this is designed specifically for your budget. Best of all, our listeners are going to get $20 off just for trying it out. Go ahead and download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FANTASYPROS today. That's promo code FANTASYPROS for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All right, Jake, let's talk about some wide receivers. This is not really a big wide receiver waiver wire week. I think Marquise Lee is probably the top name above it. And, you know, we've talked about him in prior shows, but one name I do want to talk about with you, Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard he now has 200 yards and a touchdown through three games. Is Sterling Shepard what Brandon Marshall was supposed to be? And it's funny, before I get your answer here, I will say that before the season, we talked with Matt Harmon of NFL.com, and him and I had this conversation about how Brandon Marshall reminded us of Andre Johnson back when he went from Houston to Indianapolis. And he's like, wow, that's really interesting. And he's like, and it's very possible, because that year, if you recall, Dante Moncrief was a better producer than Andre Johnson. He's like, what if Sterling Shepard is better than Brandon Marshall? I think we're seeing this exact scenario play out, and Sterling Shepard just might be a wide receiver three going forward. I know you're really close to the Giants team. What do you make of Sterling Shepard right now?
Yeah, I'm actually, I don't think so. I think that if you took away the 77-yard catch and look at the rest of it, and I always hate that argument, especially when it comes to running backs, you know that. It's like, oh, take this away. What do you, every play counts. At the same time, Brandon Marshall saw more targets. Brandon Marshall was actually being used throughout the game for a change yesterday. And yesterday was the first time where we really got to see this offense with all three of them on the field and Odell Beckham being healthy. So I still think it comes down to Sterling Shepard. Here, I'll compare it to a team that Ben McAdoo used to be with. It's Odell Beckham is Jordy Nelson, Brandon Marshall is Devontae Adams, and Sterling Shepard is Randall Cobb. That's really, you can't get a much better comparison. And yes, the players don't sync up perfectly, but that's the usage. And so Sterling Shepard is the third man. Sterling Shepard is more in the slot man. He's going to have games where he's the best or second best receiver. But I think that going forward, it was too quick for people to write off Brandon Marshall after 2 weeks. And we could see Brandon Marshall being that Devontae Adams. He still hasn't had a touchdown yet, but he saw 11 targets, 8 catches, 66 yards yesterday. Eli Manning was getting him involved. He was going to him. He was going to him still late. And if you look at Sterling Shepard, most of that yards came after the catch because it was one of the Giants love to do. That little slant across the field. Oh, look, that's what Randall Cobb loves to do. So I think it's a very good comparison. So it's not that I think Shepard's better than Marshall, and it's not that I think that Marshall's that much better than Shepard. Both of them need to be owned. Both of them have always needed to be owned. Shepard got way too much hate this offseason, and not specific to him just because people are like, oh, he's not going to see opportunities. But to say that he's going to be better than Brandon Marshall, I don't necessarily think it's going to happen on a per-game basis.
Yeah, so that's an interesting take. I like it. And that's the thing. So going back and looking at the targets through three games, Sterling Shepard, 22 targets, which ranks 21st among wide receivers. Obviously, Odell Beckham missing one game and then portion of a second game. That obviously will affect that, but it's definitely something to look at going forward. Now, I don't know if him or Marquise Lee or Mohamed Sanu are guys that can win you your fantasy league, right? You know, we talked about this. Guys in your waiver wire, you want upside. So, Jake, I ask you, Josh Doctson, would you roster him over guys like Marquise Lee, Sterling Shepard, and Mohamed Sanu?
No, I actually wouldn't. And I'm a huge Josh Doctson fan. You know that. So it really just comes down to the fact where these three, I could actually see having value every given week, especially Marquise Lee. Look at the Allen Hurts and Marquise Lee are the ones and two in an offense that has, that's it. It's those two wide receivers. You know, maybe we see something when it comes back with Dede Westbrook, but that's not going to be till week 8-9. Or I say that because I'm not sure where their bye is. So he's on that 8 week, and then you don't know if he's going to be the guy that, you know, comes back immediately and produces or needs a few weeks to get in the mix. So it's Marquise Lee and Allen Hurts. So I'm going with Lee easy. Mohamed Sanu, I've always been a fan of, and I think that people don't give him enough respect. He's somebody that's dealt with a lot of injuries through his career too, but you can go back to the Cincinnati season where he had 700-800 yards and 5 touchdowns that 1 year. That's something we could see for this season. He's the number two. Taylor Gabriel is the gadget player who will show games like he did yesterday, but it's not going to be consistent. So I think that if you look at all these guys, I say Shepard and Sanu are similar. Marquise Lee's a step ahead of them for me. Josh Doctson, love his talent, but this is more to do with the fact of they want to get him involved. It was a great play, and Terrell Pryor still hasn't done anything yet. Terrell Pryor hasn't not fit so far, and a part of it is because he's not separating. He still needs work and route running, and the fact is that as athleticism isn't working so far, and it's not working in an offense that uses some timing and Kirk Cousins to be an accurate quarterback, and when you're not getting to the space and the ball is not going to be, you know, waiting there for you because Kirk Cousins is looking somewhere else, it just hasn't worked so far.
Yeah, no, Terrell Pryor, I said it before the season, I'll say it again, that I think it was a knock on all NFL wide receivers to assume that Terrell Pryor could just make the switch to wide receiver just because he's a crazy athlete and be a top 12 fantasy wide receiver. I thought that was maddening. I think it's a disrespect to all the wide receivers who have put time into perfecting their craft. And last night, Nathan Yonke of PFF tweeted out snap counts on Josh Doctson. And every week, his snaps are going up. He went from 31% in week one to 41% in week two, and now 53% of the snaps in week three. And I quoted that saying that the best wide receiver on the Redskins is starting to get healthy. And I truly believe that Josh Doctson is the best wide receiver on this team. I mentioned it before the season that I wanted to see him out there. He's only seen 9 targets as a Redskin. On those 9 targets, 118 yards and a touchdown. Meanwhile, Terrell Pryor has more than double the targets with just 116 yards. zero touchdowns. He's not working out. They need Josh Doctson to get healthy, because Jordan Reed seems like he's a candidate for a guy that may get shut down for an extended period of time. Yep. Terrell Pryor isn't getting it done. Jamison Crowder isn't, he's not your go-to wide receiver in an offense. So Josh Doctson is an interesting ad for me. I'm with Jake though. I have him as my number four ad behind those guys, but I wanted to say that because we were just talking about the upside. Speaking of upside, Paul Richardson, he's another guy I touted before the beginning of the season. Despite Russell Wilson struggling, to get everything kind of going in order as it should have been, this week he really stepped up and he looked like the Russell Wilson we all kind of remember, right? Paul Richardson is the number 30 wide receiver despite Russell Wilson struggling as much as he has. Doug Baldwin, he has suffered a groin injury. They're saying it's not serious and that he's probably not going to miss any time, but Paul Richardson, where does he fit in this conversation for you, Jake?
Yeah, he's behind all of them. And there's somebody that you haven't even mentioned yet that I'd put him behind. And obviously, if Allen Hurns is out there as well on that team, the biggest problem here is if you look at yesterday, it was another Paul Richardson game in my mind. 7 targets and 2 catches. And he got the touchdown, which has been helping him so far. But it's the inconsistency of him. It's the inconsistency of this offense. Obviously, he'll get a boost if Doug Baldwin does miss time, as you mentioned. But it really comes down to what I've always said about the Seattle team is I want a running. Well, so year before last year, it was I want the running back and Doug Baldwin. And then last year, it was Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham. This year, it was the same thing, Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham. Because what the Seahawks do a lot of times is they'll rotate that second wide receiver. It's like just because you're the number two for the Seahawks doesn't mean you're the number two by snap count every single week. And that's just kind of what Pete Carroll does is sometimes it's going to be Tyler Lockett. Sometimes it's going to be Paul Richardson. Sometimes it doesn't even matter. And the person who has the less snap counts get more targets because that's where Russell Wilson went that day. It's basically what I've always said is it's wide receiver by committee after you get past Doug Baldwin. It's not something I've ever really wanted to mess with. I know the potential's here, but I don't think Lockett's going anywhere to not still be a frustrating thorn in the side of Paul Richardson. And then again, it comes down to Paul Richardson's own consistency. It's just, I've never seen the excitement for the per target basis. If he was catching more and added some more level of consistency, I think he'd even see more time on the field. But that's why I've always been a little bit cooler on him than most people.
So who's the wide receiver that we have not talked about that you want to put up in this conversation?
Bunches of Funches, man.
Devin Funches. Now, hold on a second. Doesn't that concern you the same thing, though? Because talk about Richardson, the 7 targets, 2 catches, and this and that. Devin Funches has seen a lot of targets the last couple weeks, but he's suffering from some severely bad play by his quarterback, Cam Newton. And before I get your take on this, Jake, I do want to throw this out there. I see a lot of people saying that Cam Newton's shoulder must be bothering him. He looks bad. His shoulder must be bothering him. I will remind you that his completion percentage is right in line with his career average. Like, it's right there. His yards per attempt, just a smidge lower. They've also had great matchups. Cam Newton, I mentioned it before, if you take away his legs, he's not going to last in the NFL. I do not think he has the skill set to last as a pocket passer. And he's turning into a check down guy without Greg Olsen. I mean, Devin Funchess is a guy that should be able to stretch the field a little bit. But again, his downfield accuracy is really lacking. I don't blame his arm. But Devin Funchess, I think it was 10 targets this week, Jake. And I think he came in with 4 catches for 68 yards. So that's my concern with Funchess. The reason I would take Richardson over him is because Funchess, he's tied to Cam Newton, whereas Paul Richardson is tied to Russell Wilson.
And you know what? And that's fine, but maybe it's not Cam Newton. Maybe it's Derek Anderson, which actually be thumbs up. It would be improved value. But, all seriousness here is the fact that Devin Funchess is, that's the thing. He's going to see around double digit targets every single week. Paul Richardson, I don't know if you can ever guarantee me that. And again, let's go down the list here. It's Doug Baldwin, Jimmy Graham, then Paul Richardson, maybe even some games, Tyler Lockett. Carolina Panthers, as of now, it's Kelvin Benjamin, if he's even on the field, and then Devin Funchess. That's it, because Greg Olsen's gone. And he's now in that hybrid role of Quincy Enunwa last year for the Jets. I'm not saying they're the similar wide receiver, because Funchess is definitely a bigger guy. But what I've always said about him is he's a fast tight end or a big wide receiver. Well, now he gets to play that hybrid role. And yesterday, as we saw, second in targets behind Christian McCaffrey. And I don't think we'll expect that every single week for Christian McCaffrey. But Funchess is the number two, even if Benjamin's out there. So I'm looking at the fact that the targets are going to be consistent, even if they're not online. This kind of is the DeAndre Hopkins argument of Deshaun Watson being a quarterback. Okay, so he can only catch half of them. Well, if he's getting 14 per game, you're getting 7. So, Funchess catches half of them. He gets 4 or 5 off 10 targets per game. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is I liked Funchess before the beginning of the season, but I also thought that Cam Newton might look a little bit better than he did with all the additional options in the offense. The guys underneath should help him, you know, kind of move forward as a quarterback in his career. And he just it just hasn't happened. So it's kind of a hot take to say that Derek Anderson would be an upgrade. But I mean, I don't think it really is that much of a hot take if Cam Newton's not going to use his legs.
He would help the passing game.
Yeah, Derek Anderson is probably a better passer than Cam Newton at this point in his career. It's sad to say that. It really is, especially for a guy that was considered like, you know, a lot of people consider him as like a top three dynasty quarterback. I said this offseason, if you could sell Cam Newton in dynasty, like it was your time to do so because his value was somehow still what it was, despite him finishing as the number 17 quarterback in two of the last 3 years. 2015 is looking like a major outlier in what's been a so-so career with a quarterback who was getting a lot of fantasy points from running the football. Let's transition right there with quarterbacks. You know, there's so many things that we want to try and listen to our feedback on the shows. And a lot of the feedback that we've been getting on Twitter is you guys want to hear about some streaming quarterbacks. You guys want to know who to play if you were stuck. Let's say Andy Dalton, you know, the week one, week two matchups were tough. Who should you be playing in those places? So we're going to try and discuss a few quarterback streamers on every episode. So, Jake, I think we should start right here with Jay Cutler. You know, a lot of people last week were asking me questions. Should I start Cutler over Dalton? I said never fully trust Jay Cutler. Like, he will hurt you. And people wanted to do it in DFS last week. And the last time that people trusted Cutler in DFS before this week was back against the Tampa Bay Bucks. I think it was in 2015, and Cutler laid an egg. It was awful. But this spot against the New Orleans Saints is a get-right spot. They are going to be at home against the Saints defense that maybe without Marshawn Lattimore. Again, they're missing other parts of their defense. Delvin Bro is on the IR. He's out for a while. So they're missing a couple cornerbacks. Sterling Moore might be out again. What do you think about Jay Cutler streaming this week?
I think he's probably the top of the list, honestly. And he's intriguing. But as you said, I'm not doing it for another quarterback that I already have. A perfect example would have been, let's take last week. Let's say Cutler was facing the Saints this past week in week three, and my quarterback was Kirk Cousins. I'm still sticking with Kirk Cousins. And I know Kirk Cousins had a good matchup, but even throw the Raiders out there, and now I'm throwing a ton of ifs, but let's put it, Kirk Cousins against a decent defense like the Bengals. I'm still starting Cousins. That, to your point, I'm not trusting Cutler unless I am in that streaming position. So I'm not going to bench the guy that I've been rolling with this entire time, but he would probably be at the top of my list for streaming options of quarterbacks. A Cutler against the Saints, you have to like that.
I have him as my top option as well, but I think some other options that we should discuss here. Blake Bortles at the New York Jets. I can't ever trust Bortles. Like, he, you know, I said Cutler, I could never fully trust him. I can't trust Blake Bortles at all.
No.
Even it's the Jets. Well, I don't know how the Jets...
This is why I didn't take, you know, the suicide in week one. This is why I didn't take a guess, because Blake Bortles, any given week, can show up and be a top five quarterback or be a bottom five quarterback, and it doesn't matter the matchup. You don't know what Bortles you're going to get. It's the box of chocolates thing from Forrest Gump. You just never know what you're going to get with him, because 300 yards and three touchdowns in the same day, he could throw 150 and three interceptions against a team like the Saints. So, yes, he's a good streamer. But I think that's just more for the fact that, like, you know what? I'd actually go Tyrod Taylor against the Falcons instead of that.
Can we make this a thing? Blake, you never know what you're going to get, Bortles.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
There we go.
Every time you say his name going forward, you have to say it that way. And I'm making this a rule right now, Jake. But I actually would play Tyrod Taylor against
Atlanta
as well.
Can we just call him Gump Bortles?
Gump Bortles. We're having so much fun at Bobby's expense because Blake Bortles is Bobby's guy. And I know he's probably listening to his radio right now thinking, no, he's not. But yes, Bobby, Blake Bortles is your guy. But Andy Dalton. All right. So here's a question, Jake. And this is what I actually have Andy Dalton as my number two quarterback behind Cutler. But it's a real conversation. Do you start Andy Dalton at Cleveland or do you start Jay Cutler versus New Orleans? Would you actually start Cutler over Dalton?
As of today, I think I would, honestly.
That's tough to say, man. I want to see Eifert back on the field because, I mean, Andy Dalton looked a lot better. And Joe Mixon being out there definitely helps because I think he presents another threat that Jeremy Hill doesn't necessarily give the offense. But
I would definitely put it that way. If Eifert's out there, then Dalton. But without Eifert, I still have concerns about that.
So order for me, man, I'm going Cutler, Dalton, Tyrod, and then Bortles. And then Deshaun Watson can be also thrown in that conversation, but
Trevor
Siemian. Stop talking about Trevor Siemian.
You know what is so disappointing? It's funny, and I brought this up on Fantasy Radio today, is Trevor Siemian, I complimented him for the first 2 weeks. After week one, I was like, you know what? He played a really smart game against the Chargers. He took what they gave him because you can't throw the outsides against the Chargers. He took the middle of the field. Second week, he comes out there. He takes Emmanuel Sanders most of the game. He's taking what's given to him. Like, Trevor Siemian's playing a lot smarter this year. He's playing a smart game. He looks a lot better. He's grown in his intelligence. And then you watch yesterday's game, and it's like he threw all of it out the window. The throws were all over the place. He's making terrible off one leg across his body. Like, it just was, it's like everything good you did, man, and you just threw it out the window. But it is the Raiders at home. I would put Siemian behind all four of those, but you might be in a deep enough league. Put it this way, I'd start him over Alex Smith, because what is Alex Smith going to do for you? 220 yards and a touchdown? Whoop-de-freaking-do.
No, don't even start me on the Chiefs. Travis Kelce's killing me, man. He's killing me. But I just wanted to go through those quarterbacks. Hopefully you guys got a good idea as to how we feel about them for this week.
Can I ask you about one real quick before you move on?
Yeah.
Would you do Case Keenum at home against the Lions?
No, I will not trust Case Keenum yet. It was one game against the Bucs defense. Gerald McCoy went down. You know, one of their corners got hurt. I'm forgetting who that. I saw a lot of that game.
Lost like 10 people during the game yesterday.
Yeah, it was an ugly game. I did see a lot of that game. And Case Keenum, I know he looked good, guys, but no, don't trust Case Keenum. I can't do it. This is a horrible spot. We're not leaving the show like this. We need to talk about a couple tight ends. Let's just discuss a couple tight ends real quick. It's not really a big week. Charles Clay is somehow owned in only 13% of leagues. And the other one, Vernon Davis, you definitely want to talk about.
Go somewhere else too.
Don't say Mercedes Lewis.
No. Ben Watson.
Ben Watson?
Not owned enough. Ben Watson far and away, miles ahead of everybody else.
Wait, so you take Ben Watson over Charles Clay and Vernon Davis?
Yes. No question
about it. Wow. Make a case for it. I want to hear it.
It's the tight end with the Ravens. Done. There's your case.
Well, hold on.
What more do you need?
Well, Nick Boyle. So Nick Boyle is playing almost the same amount of snaps as Ben Watson, just not getting as many targets. So that's where my concern is that it may slowly fade. And if Ben Watson hadn't caught a touchdown at the end of that game, it was from Ryan Mallett, by the way. If he hadn't caught that touchdown,
he saved his day. But I mean, honestly, look. The tight end with the Ravens is every given week is going to produce, and that was a really bad matchup. The Jacksonville Jaguars defense is going to be one of the best and is one of the best, and people are finally waking up to that fact.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't think anybody thought that game was going to go that way and be out of control that quickly. But Ben Watson, the Ravens and Joe Flacco go to the tight end time and time and time and time again. So it is Ben Watson for me. Charles Clay, we've done the Charles Clay thing before. And yes, he's that top end tight end two, but the touchdowns aren't going to be there that much. The consistency, his being able to stay healthy is another concern for me. So I know Ben Watson's old, but he's been productive, and he was productive with the Saints before he left, and he's been productive so far with the Ravens.
I'd probably just throw up while trying to add Ben Watson to my roster, to be honest with you.
You know what? I will say this real quick as a sidebar to everybody to do another thing I've done in my home leagues, and everybody should be following suit because I did the whole, get rid of kickers for a second flex. I'm smart. Everybody knows
so
that.
So good.
Here's the second one you need to do. This is something we did 2 years ago. Take your tight end position and turn it into a wide receiver / tight end flex. Don't include running backs. Don't make it a full flex. Just wide receiver, tight end, more strategy. Then you don't have to deal with this because look how many guys have been injured already. Touchdowns reign supreme at tight end. And now you can have conversations like, do I start Cooper Kupp or Charles Clay? Do I start Rob Gronkowski or Willie Snead when he comes back? Like, these are the conversations that you can end up having because it makes it a lot more interesting and flexible. And now you're not stuck starting Zach Miller next week.
Now, would it change your mind if we heard that Jordan Reed was going to miss a couple weeks? Would you move Vernon Davis up to number one?
Yeah, maybe. I think so.
All right. And real quick, before we get out of here, I'm going to ask you, I forgot to ask you on the wide receiver portion, how much of your fab would you spend on someone like Marquise Lee?
Oh, if Marquise Lee is still out there, this goes back to the same thing as the Smallwood at running back, is I would say you probably have to go at least 20-25% if you're in a super aggressive league, 30-40%, but it's hard to see super aggressive and he's still out there.
Yes. No, it is hard to go aggressive on him, and especially when you're considering he has Blake Bortles throwing him the ball. The targets are going to be there, which is why you have to like him. I mean, he's like a guy for me, it's like 10 to 15% maybe. I don't spend too much on him. I would much prefer to spend my money on running backs and trade for a wide receiver if you have to. I just don't feel confident putting players like Marquise Lee in my lineup. I'd rather take a shot.
See, I like Lee.
I'd rather take a shot on someone who's extremely cheap, like Josh Doctson. You can get him for a dollar or two off the waiver wire, and it legitimately, he gives you, if he finds his way into the starting lineup, which he will as he's now getting healthy, I think that he's someone who can make just as much of an impact, if not more.
So to your point, if he's your wide receiver 5 or 6, then yeah, don't waste the money, just go get Doctson. But if you need somebody to start as your wide receiver 4, maybe even 3 in a PPR, then that's why I would be more aggressive.
Yeah, for sure. No, man, I think this was a great show today. I think we touched on a lot of topics. I think you and I disagreed on enough things. I think we ragged on Bobby enough. I am also, stop sending me tweets about how Amari Cooper is not beating Sammy Watkins, because this is not going to last for long, guys. I also want to thank the sponsors of today's show, pristineauction.com. Make sure to check them out, guys. Seriously, there's so much goodies there. It's like, it seriously makes you feel like a kid again. When I go to pristineauction.com, I feel like a kid that is in like a candy store and I just want to just buy everything. My wife keeps me in check, though, as well as SeatGeek.com. Go check out their app, check out some tickets, get a discount by using the promo code FantasyPros. For Jake Seeley and myself, Mike Tagliere, we will catch you guys next time. Until then, lights out. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. But I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble. There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.